out there? I'm thinking buttons and switches and levers and knobs, things you just can't help yourself but to touch and to push. But for other people, it might be the pushers of people's buttons. You like to push people's buttons. I guess that fits too. My family is full of button pushers. You can't trust them around a knob or a switch or a button, especially in new cars or in new places. No button left unpushed, no switch left unflicked. That's the motto in our house. I think of this Marvel movie. It's Guardians of the Galaxy 2. Maybe some of you guys have seen it. There's this little guy, and it comes down to him to save them all. And he has two button options, and he has to push the right one. And they go through it a couple of times, and he always chooses the wrong one. The wrong one kills them all. He points to the wrong one every time. I laugh, and I think it's a good thing that that device is not in our house, because the button would be pushed. Today we're going to look at sin and hell and how they relate. And I think we will see that everyone has things in their life like buttons that should not be pushed, and these things may lead to your sins or to the sins of others, and they must be removed. We'll look at it in two parts. Causing sin leads to hell, and sinning leads to hell. Mark 9, verses 42 through 50. Whoever causes one of these little ones who believe in me to sin, it would be better for him if a great millstone were hung around his neck and he were thrown into the sea. And if your hand causes you to sin, cut it off. It is better for you to enter life crippled than with two hands go to hell, to the unquenchable fire. And if your foot causes you to sin, cut it off. It is better for you to enter life lame than with two feet be thrown into hell. And if your eye causes you to sin, tear it out. It is better for you to enter the kingdom of God with one eye than with two eyes be thrown into hell, where the worm does not die and the fire is not quenched. For everyone will be salted with fire. Salt is good, but if salt has lost its saltiness, how will it make you salty again? Have salt in yourselves and be at peace with one another. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for this time we have together, even in this online capacity this morning. Be with us now. Write our hearts and our minds for this word you have for us this morning. Help us to apply it to ourselves as we leave today. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. So, we're in the middle of our study in Mark, and last week we looked at the disciples returning to Capernaum. The disciples were wondering who among them was the greatest, and they were shown that being selfless and helping those in need is God's way of measuring greatness, and Jesus is the greatest of all. We also said that all true believers in Jesus should be united in the world regardless of their backgrounds. This united front is the only way to go about real change in the wicked world around us. Jesus is the only way, and carrying the gospel and making disciples is how we spread this truth. This week, our passage deals with sin and hell and how to stay away from both. Before we begin, we should first look at what is not present in our text. What's missing? What is missing in this text? If you have a King James or New King James translation, then you probably cannot see what is missing. We've looked at this before in Mark in some detail, so we won't spend a lot of time on it here, but most of our English Bibles today, you will find that both verses 44 and 46 are missing. Why is that? Well, what we know is that earlier translations were based on fewer copies of original scripture, actually seven of them, and they dated to the 11th century or so, meaning that they went to translate into English what had already been translated and hand-copied down repeatedly over 1,000 years. Then we found much earlier documents and much more of them, actually over 5,000. Some of these documents date to the 2nd century instead of the 11th, meaning they were within 100 years or so of Jesus himself walking on this earth. What we found through the centuries was that things were added to the text to clarify or to complete, and they were not there to begin with. In our case today, verse 44 and verse 46 were copies of verse 48. And they added to the repetitive nature for our section, and they made it easier to follow and easier to memorize. So the added verses were biblical in nature, but were not there originally. This is why we continue to research and study the Bible, and it's why we say the original documents are without error, and are God's very words, and our translations are the best we can do with what we have. You can trust your Bibles. They are trustworthy, and you can trust your Bibles no matter what translation you are using. Just know that this is why there are some differences across our translations. Read what is best for you. Now let's continue in our text today. Causing sin leads to hell. This is not a soothing topic, right? This is not something we want to talk about. We want to give us love others. Give us the miracles. Just don't make us think about hell. What does our text say? Verse 42. Whoever causes one of these little ones who believe in me to sin, it would be better for him if a great millstone were hung around his neck and he were thrown into the sea. Little ones here comes off our previous sections we've been studying and dealing with children. So here he's referring to children, but we've also said that children are in a category of people that are less fortunate and lower members of society. Little ones here also conveys this idea of young believer. Little ones who believe in me, this newly converted Christian. This means we're talking about anyone who leads the less fortunate members of society astray along with newly converted Christians. Work to protect those who look to you and not to lead astray, or there will be consequences. What is the consequence here? It is hell. We know this by the rest of our passage, in which we'll look at shortly, and we know this by what Mark tells us is the better option. It is better to be thrown into the sea tied to a great millstone. Do we know what a millstone is? It is a stone used to grind up wheat and grain. Our text here says great millstone, which gives us this image of a stone having to be turned by a donkey or some other animal. This stone would be 4 or 5 foot in diameter and over a foot thick and over a ton in weight. Not something you want attached to you when you go for a swim. So the idea here is that death is better than leading those looking to you astray. Death is better. Why? Because if you are leading others astray, it means you are not leading them to Christ. We just looked at this last week when Jesus told John that anyone not against us is for us. Today it says, you better not be against us. Do not stand against the Son of God and His teachings and lead others away and expect a happy ending. The ending is clear throughout Scripture. Matthew 13, verse 41 says, the Son of Man will send His angels, and they will gather out of His kingdom all causes of sin and all lawbreakers and throw them into the fiery furnace. In that place there will be a weeping and a gnashing of teeth. Then the righteous will shine like the sun in the kingdom of their Father. He who has ears, let him hear. This seems clear. Do not cause the sin of others. The question is, how do we cause others to sin? We have to know how not to do it. What is sin? Well, sin is anything separating you from God. So if you're doing something that is not good in the eyes of God and you bring someone in with you, you are helping them sin. You also do not have to be sinning to lead others to sin. Do not have to be sinning. One example might be taking someone to a bar or restaurant to get a drink that they should not be drinking. They are an alcoholic, and it never ends well. And you invite them along. We know drinking alcohol is not a sin in the Bible. It is not a sin. I'll give my Baptist friends a moment to catch their breath. It is not a sin. We also know that anything in excess is a sin, and anything that distorts your ability to think, your ability to make good decisions. This is why alcohol is so dangerous, because it only takes one too many to impair your judgment and lead you down the wrong path, and everyone's number of one too many is different. You may be fine having that drink, but your companion cannot have even one. You may say this is their decision to make. But our text says helping them down this path is on you. What is in our life that leads to the sins of others? Jesus gave his life so that all sinners could find mercy in his holy name. And here Jesus says keeping others from him is worse than drowning yourself. Are we doing something to lead others astray? What is it? Next, we'll look at the sins, our own sins, leading us to hell. Sinning leads to hell. Our first verse was about leading others astray. Verses 43 through 48 are about leading ourselves astray. It gives us this idea that it's better to lose a part of yourself in this life rather than your whole body go to hell for eternity. This is where this section says your unchecked, unrepented sins in your life are leading you. He does not pull his punches here. It's not some weird parable we have to dive into to figure out and understand. It says thrown into hell. It says unquenchable fire. This is the result when the things in our life do not give glory to God, that are not bringing you closer to Christ. When these things are controlling you, then you will not like your destination. It is not that we do not sin. We are sinners. It is that continuous sins without repentance are leading you in a certain way. Scripture calls it the wide path. They are leading you a certain way, and something has to change for you to be standing on the narrow path to Jesus that you claim to be on. Something has to change. So what does Jesus say to do? He says, cut off your hands and your feet, and gouge out your eyes, because these things are better than the result of living in sin. We get that this is hyperbole. We know that Jesus is not saying to start injuring yourself. We know this, but some have taken this literally throughout history. Some have caused their own physical pain because they thought this passage told them to. It is not saying that you need to go cut off your hand to save your soul. However, it is using this hyperbole to get something across that is important. There's an important concept here. Do we understand it? Well, let's look at the body parts listed here. First, it is the hand. Isaiah says, we are the works of his hand. And John tells us that no one can snatch us out of his hands. Hands are associated with power. Those verses, the power of God. So they're associated with power and action. It is what we do in this life. Our study in James showed us that faith and action go hand to hand to reveal who we are in this life. What we say must line up with what we do. If we say we love others, and then we spread hate online, then this is something to cut out of your life.
Amen.
Or if we read Facebook for 4 hours a day, but do not pick up our Bibles, then maybe social media is your hand that needs to cut off.
Amen.
If drinking alcohol takes you to a dark place, cut it off. Whatever action in your life that is against God needs to be removed, just like cutting off a hand, or it may lead to hell. Next is the foot. This represents the places we go. Psalm 119:105, your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. Romans 10:15, and how are they to preach unless they are sent, as it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the good news. We are on the move and hopefully carrying the gospel. Where are we going that we would not want Jesus with us? Where is it? Maybe if you're in a setting where you would not feel comfortable taking your parents, maybe you shouldn't be there either.
Amen.
That party that gets a little out of hand, that club that it says adults only on the sign, that relationship that you are in may be going great, but you should not be at their house all night. Maybe you are married and are at someone else's house. Where are you going that leads down a path of despair? You may say, this is too much, and where I go is fun to me. I can be a Christian and have a good time. You are correct. You can have a good time. What I want you to understand is if the places you find yourself in are leading you to sin, then Jesus says cut it off because the consequences are too great.
Amen.
Next is the eye. This may be the biggest obstacle of them all. Matthew 6:22 says the eye is the lamp of the body. So if your eye is healthy, your whole body will be full of light. Psalm 119:37. Turn my eyes from looking at worthless things and give me life in your ways. We might be able to control what we do and where we go, but it seems like in our culture today, the eyes are the focus of so much pain. You may be thinking that you're an introvert and you don't have to do anything or go anywhere. You're nailing this passage. My question would be, what have you watched this week? Movies, TV, social media videos. How much of it can you praise God while watching? How much of it do you have to make sure no one else sees? The culture around us normalizes itself through the media we watch. Violence, sex and sexuality, political statements and ideologies, it is all present in what we watch and do not watch, and it will slowly erode your principles.
Amen.
It will slowly numb you to the immoralities being pushed around us. I like detective shows. I like to figure things out. These are what I watch, but I have to be careful because what I take in helps to define what comes out of me. We may control the things we do and the places we go, but we see everything around us. Let me just say this. If you are watching pornographic content, then you are destroying your marriage. If not married, then you're destroying the biblical concept of intimacy and any future relationships that you may have. You just are. To go one step further, what would once be labeled as pornography is now labeled mainstream movies. Sexual intimacy is in the Bible is in between, it's between a man and a woman in marriage, and that's it. Do not let your eyes lead your marriage astray. Jesus says, cut it off before it is too late. Let me put it like this. Let's say you went to the doctor, and they took a look at you and said, you are pretty healthy. Your weight, your blood pressure, your pulse, your cholesterol, they're checking everything, and you are healthy. You're going to live a long and healthy life as long as we take care of this one thing. That toe, that little toe on your foot is infected, and it has gangrene. The rest of your body is completely fine, but we have to remove the toe. You can keep the toe, but you will die. What do you do? Do you leave that doctor's office with 10 toes and a death sentence? No. You have it removed. It is killing you, and you get rid of it before it does. This is what Jesus is saying in this section. He says, your life is going well in many ways, but you have this one thing you do, or this one place you go, or that one website that you like to browse, and it is killing you. To follow me, it must go. Now, we're not saying that what you do decides your salvation. We are all sinners and are all saved in faith in the Son of God. Jesus went to the cross so you could be judged by His perfection and not your own. What we are saying is that faith changes you. And if you are claiming a faith that has changed you, but are holding on to some sin that is dragging you down, then something is off. Something has to give. Jesus says, it is me or it, but it cannot be both. What is it? What is the thing dragging you away from heaven and toward the fires of hell? You know what it is. Cut it off. As we close today, we can look back at this passage and see what it has for us. It says, heaven and hell are the destinations, and where we are leading ourselves and others in this life reveals our destination to come. I want us to look at the last two verses together as we wrap up. Verse 49. For everyone will be salted with fire. Salt is good, but if salt has lost its saltiness, how will you make it salty again? Have salt in yourselves. And be at peace with one another. What are we being told here? Verse 49 is only found here in Mark and has confused scholars. It is confusing because the term salt is being used differently in 49 and in 50. It is not saying that everyone is going to hell. Hell is the unquenchable fire as described above. So this fire is here is different. It's the fire of refinement. What is salt? We know that salt is a preservative, and Matthew 5 tells us that we are the salt. So when we combine these things, in verse 49, it says, everyone will face a preserving and refining fire. We know what this is. The preserving and refining fires in our life are the trials. They are the sufferings. Remember, James tells us that these things are the things that grow us and lead us to joy. We could probably find many of these things, these refining fires over this past year that has been 2020. It goes on to say that we need to be the good salt that is in Matthew 5. The salt that is helping preserve the world. What does this mean for us? It means that we have to strive to be the good salt used for preserving those around us, for offering the hope and joy that comes with the gospel message. That is what we are meant for. All those who believe should spread the gospel like we are the salt of the world. Along the way, we will run into issues. We will have struggles. We will have bouts of sin in this life, just like our passage has discussed today. To be the salt of the world means to cut off the things in your life that is removing your saltiness. Jesus says, "I am the only way, and I will never let you go." But what our passage has shown us today is that your life reveals if Jesus is your way, if you are on the right path. Maybe some of us need to spend a few moments in prayer this morning to repent of some sin dragging us down. To ask for help and wisdom in cutting off the things in our life keeping us from being the salt of the world that we are called to be. This is what the church is for. We lift up and support one another, and we reach out into the world. Seek the support of someone in your church. Seek them out to help you and to guide you. Others may need to cry out to God for the very first time. We covered this a few weeks ago. Jesus, I believe, help my unbelief. Help me to cut off the desires of this world and to turn to you. I am a sinner and I need the Savior today. If this is you, then please do not hesitate. Jesus offers salvation to everyone who believes in His name. Whatever is holding you back, cut it off and choose Jesus today. Any other needs at all, please bring them before our Heavenly Father as we sing. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you again for this morning we've had together, this moment, these few minutes we've spent time in your holy word. Father, we ask that you now, you help us to search our lives. Help us to see the places where we have gone astray and are taking others with us. Father, help us see the needs in our own lives, the things that we need to cut out to be stronger for you, to keep our saltiness for the world. Father, be with us now as we leave this place. Keep us focused on your holy name and your holy word. Help us spread these